Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color and with a special recognition coming out of Ferguson, Missouri, where the annual event, this year's annual event, will be taking place. And we've got live on the scene my co-host, Miss Henrietta Byrd.
Live and in color.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, in Ferguson. What a city. Like, just what a community. Let me just say that. A community. Such a wonderful community of people. I have just, oh my God, I have so much to talk about. But, of course, we start our show with our grounding tool. I've called it, I refer to it as a grounding tool. I refer to it as what keeps us on track, or where we go when we derail and we need to get back on track. Or what we're about, the International Black Summit Conversation, we find our expression through the declaration of the International Black Summit. And so let's start with that, Glenn, so that we can get to this city of Ferguson.
Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children. Building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. July 12th, 2016. New York City, Chi-Town, and Ferguson, Missouri. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. What that purpose says is that you must participate, because the opportunity is there when you participate. So we invite everybody to come to this year's annual summit event in Ferguson, Missouri. It is going to be held at the Community Center in Ferguson on Smith Avenue. And it is, the dates are August 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. And I want to make it perfectly clear that if you've not done the summit before, you have to be at the summit on Thursday for the prerequisite. The prerequisite is a separate course that prepares you for the annual, for the weekend. The fee for the prerequisite is $100 if you are an adult. And if you are youth, Glenn, it's $75 or $50. And I should know that. And
It's actually 25 for youth.
25 for youth. Okay. So the prerequisite is $100 for $25 for youth. And you should be there on Thursday if you are an adult who has never done the summit before. The recommended contribution for the summit is $250. For the entire weekend. Now, that does not include the prerequisite. And the reason I'm starting off this show tonight with the fees is so that everybody is clear about what the contribution is. And it is a contribution to a nonprofit organization, so you can write it off. And so the prerequisite is $100 if you are an adult, $25 if you are youth. Youth is 8 to 17. Now, the recommended contribution for the weekend is $250 if you are an adult, $200 if you are a senior, and $100 if you are youth. If you register by August 1st, there is a contribute as you choose option, but you must be registered on or before August 1st. August 2nd, there is no contribute as you choose option. Contribute as you choose is an option so that people understand that they can, like $250 is the recommended price, they can give $2,500 or $25,000. This is our annual fundraiser. And there are those people who may choose, for whatever the reason, to give less than the $250. That's an option also, but only until August 1st. So please go to blacksummer.org and get yourself registered in this wonderful event that takes place at the Ferguson Community Center in Ferguson, Missouri, August 4th through the 7th. Now, anything, Glenn, that you want to add to that?
Now, when they go to the panel, it says it has a lot of things in terms of the fees. So it's got the different fees on it. And if you're going to pay less than the recommended amount, what is it that you select?
Say it again.
So when you go to the registration page, it says the fees. And if you're going to select something other than the suggested fee, This says contribution. So is that, so they would just then select, let's say, for example, $100 or $75 or $50 contribution?
Right, or $25,000, whatever they're going to contribute at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's,
okay,
if there's any problem, there should be a phone number there that you can call. Or you can send an email if there's any any, you know, challenge with it. But, yeah, you just select. And there should be an option that says that where you can mail in your contribution, and it's a post office box in New York City where you would send it to. So you can mail in your contribution, and you can also pay on site. But you want to register first, because if you don't register first when you pay on site, you will be paying the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay, great, great, great. We also have a way that you can contribute all year long, and where it's an automatic deduction, and it just deducts whatever amount you tell us, and by when a year goes by, you're already registered based on the deduction that you have authorized. And next year, the summit is in Guyana, South America. So you may want to take that option and join the Summit Support Program, which is where you can have a certain amount deducted out of your, you know, from your bank account every month, and it goes towards your registration for the following year. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that also. Is there anything else? Oh, the hotel, okay? If you are not in the Ferguson area, even if you are and you want to stay in the hotel that we are using is the Hilton Garden Inn on Evans in Berkeley, Missouri, which is right outside of Ferguson. The Hilton Garden Inn, and you can call and you can ask for the International Black Summit book of rooms, ask for that rate. But the rooms are going quickly, so you need to get those registrations in. And you still will be able to stay at the hotel, but you won't get the rate unless you do it in the next couple of days, if not today, because I think there were a very few left. But so just, you know, if you want to stay in the hotel, you're welcome to stay in the hotel as well. And I... I think that's
Hello?
It. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here. I think that's it for that, you know. But you want to be in Ferguson this year. This is a city where you talk about shaking the dust off your feet and moving on. This is a city, and the surrounding cities also. When I say Ferguson, but I'm saying Ferguson because that's where the event is going to be. But when I say Ferguson, I'm including Dellwood, Jenison, Cool Valley, Florissant, and Hazelwood, just all the cities that surround Ferguson. And some of them I don't even know. But I'm including all of the cities that were affected in any form or fashion by what has gone on here. I say everybody was affected by it. And Ferguson, I'm trying to think of how to describe the people, Glenn. But Ferguson is a... people I'm trying to think of the word that describes a group of people who have been through a traumatic experience, who are moving. they continue to move. They're dedicated to fighting peacefully for what they believe is just. It's a word, and it actually starts with the F that I'm thinking of. But they are very focused. They're committed. They are forceful. They are active, are energetic, and they are examples of not allowing your circumstances to hinder you. When I listen to the people in this community speak about some of the things they've experienced, I'm just amazed. They have witnessed things that I'm from Chicago, and I've never witnessed the things that they've witnessed. You know, I've never done that. I've just never witnessed some of the things. And when I think about some of the things that these people and these wonderful expressions of God have gone through in their community, and they're still up and at them. They're not complaining. They're protesting, positively protesting, and they're going about the business of their community. I went to a city council meeting last night in one of the neighboring communities, and it was packed. It was packed. The people are involved in the community, and they're not there complaining. They are there sitting what's going on in their community. The council people, the mayor, and I'm actually speaking of the people in Delwood at this particular time, are very, very involved in what goes on in their community. The people in Ferguson are the same way. You know, they are very involved. They can tell you everything that is going on from a political standpoint as well as from being a member of the community. They can tell you what their city council is working on. They can tell you what bill has been signed, what bill is being worked on. They can tell you all of those things. It is amazing how involved the people are in their community. This is not the kind of place, you know, usually around voting time, election is the word I was looking for. Usually around election time, people get involved. But this is different. They go to council meetings all the time. You know, they have protesters continuously who protest things that happen all over the country. They're not just protesting what occurred in Ferguson. They're protesting what goes on in the United States. And they do it, and they're orderly, and they have a purpose, they have a mission, and they go to work the next day. It is just amazing. Their schools are, I was at the community college today, the St. Louis Community College, and people are lined up to register for the fall semester. And they're eager to get in and get the classes that they want. You know, this the city, the community is in action. And so I want to make sure that that's clear to people. as they come to this community, because I have not talked to anybody who was not willing to engage in conversation with me. They take time. If you hand them something to read, they read it. They ask you the questions that they have, and they say thank you. You know, I've even said, I just want to give you something, you can read it later. And they stop and they'll read it right then. And they'll ask me whatever questions they have about it. And it's they're very confident in who they are. And they're very interested in anything that they feel will benefit their community and their families. This has been one of the most wonderful trips I have taken. And just to constantly see, and I've been on every side of town there is, in the different communities. It has been a wonderful, wonderful experience, Glenn. I'm going to stop talking now to see if you had any questions.
No, I don't have any questions. But what I'm left with, I must say, what I'm left with is you're speaking about Black people. You know, you're speaking about the people who have endured slavery, who have persevered, who have quietly moved themselves and society forward. You know, sometimes quietly, most of the time quietly, to progress. You know, one of the things that I look at and I listen to is that the gay rights movement and all of the other rights movement were initiated by the Black movement. It's almost like we endured something and we have held the burden of moving not just ourselves forward, but everybody forward. And so I'm just, you know, I just noticed that's the space that I'm in. When I was listening to you, I really could sense who we are as a people and who we've been as a people. You know, and I think back to, you know, 50 years to Martin Luther King and the marches, the freedom marches and the freedom rides and the social uprising that we did, sometimes quietly, but not so quietly sometimes also. So that's what I'm present to. And we've got one of our people from way back when. I'm just going to open up his mic. JT, go ahead, brother. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, JT. Your mic's open.
Oh, I just want to thank y'all. This is MVP, Newport News, Virginia. And I'm here to listen. And it is very great to hear all this information is coming out. And we are resilient people, very strong people. No matter what obstacles that we in, we always rise to the occasion. And that's the beauty of us African descent around the world. And that's what I'm going to say for now. Good evening, my sister Henrietta.
Hey, Jerry. I was glad to hear from you.
Likewise here.
I'm looking forward to you being in Ferguson.
Yes, 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 yes. And my brother, Glenn, y'all keep up the fine work and keep the conversation going.
All right, my brother.
Thanks, dear. You know, one of the things that I just thought about, and I've been saying this to people all week, you know, I've been here about 5 days, I think, is I can't wait to see what Ferguson, the community of Ferguson, has to offer the International Black Summit conversation. You know, when I think about the different places that we've been and the inquiries or declarations that have come out of those events, I can't wait to see what the declaration is going to be out of Ferguson. See, when you have a group of people that are mighty, mighty in the midst of whatever, you have a powerful group of people. I went to, I told you earlier, the St. Louis Community College today, and had a wonderful experience of an interview with their communications person. Paul is his name, and he is over the radio station at the community college. And one of the things that he described, and he is he's Caucasian, right? And he said he grew up in Ferguson. Ferguson was his stomping ground. He no longer lives in Ferguson, but he said this is where he used to walk through all the time growing up, right? And he said one of the things that he noticed was that there were two Fergusons. And he said anytime you have a community and it's split, he said something's gonna fall through the crack. Something's gonna go through that split. And you know, the way he described it, I could actually see the split. He said, and any time you have two different things in the same place, something is going to erupt to have it become one. And so that's how he looked at the different things that had happened. He was so excited about our coming. So you'll meet him. His name is Paul, and you'll meet him at the opening ceremony. The opening ceremony is a community event that Thursday night. The prerequisite is all day on Thursday, and at 7 o'clock, the doors open for the opening ceremony. And that event is open to all people in the community, and that's where we get to really have fun and laugh and get to know people in the community, and they get to know us. So, and then Friday, the actual summit continues, but that's where we start the work. That's where we start to uncover and discover more about who we are and who we are being. And, you know, you remember us talking about the hat, and that's where we get to take off the hats that we've been wearing. And that's where we get to declare ourselves, like you hear Jerry call himself MVP. See, that's who Jerry is. Jerry realized that in Baltimore at the summit, that he is MVP. And so he stands inside of it now. That's a part of his title. That's a part of his handle. You know, when I say, you know, Jerry, you remember MVP. If I don't say MVP, people don't even know his name, but they know him by MVP because that was one of the hats he took off in Baltimore. And so as we look at the different distinctions that we have in the International Black Summit, I'm just so excited, Glenn, about what this community is going to offer us. I'm just like, it's just amazing to me just to even think about it. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. I am equally excited because it's given the climate of the United States right now, what we've been going through, what this last week was, a guy that I worked with back in 78 and 79 out in Chicago reached out to me and said, you know, what a horrible week it has been for race relations. Can I give you a virtual hug? And, you know, he and I are just, I mean, he's a real down guy. I mean, just, you know, I really, you know, the salt of the earth, as they say. And, you know, the fact that he would reach out and offer me a virtual hug, you know, that's just special. And so with all of that going on, and he's experiencing it as well, Ferguson is not just a black thing. We really are on the precipice of altering the conversation of who we are in the media. You know, that's one of the lines in the summit declaration.
Right.
But we're in the midst of making those changes. You know, forging forward in a way that impacts the world, because all eyes are on the U.S. inside of this conversation.
Right.
And the opportunity and the possibility that exists in shifting the planet really starts inside of this context. So we're engaged in a conversation that I don't know that we know where it's going to take us, really. And so the world is our oyster. There's no ceiling on the sucker. So it's like, wow, really, what is going to be available? So it's pretty exciting. And I've got somebody else on the line that I just opened up his mic. Mr. Rod?
Rod Pass is Rod Pass.
Rod Pass.
Can you hear me?
From Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Hey.
Awesome.
I've only caught like the last few minutes of it. I mean, I kind of came in and out. But no, that is so perfect. I last night, Ricky Smiley, Do y'all know who Ricky Smiley is?
Yes.
Are you familiar with Ricky Smiley? He did a thing on, I think it was like on, he was a YouTube or Facebook. It was on Facebook. But I'm going to tell you what he said. I was so, just proud of what he said. Look, he said, look, I'm on a major radio station, and I'm going to speak out. You know, and I challenge, you know, football players and actors and even school officials to hit the community where it hurts and is in the pocket. I love what he said because it really resonated with me. You know, protesting is not going to do it right now because it's not about protesting. It's about really, for me anyway, especially even in Atlanta, because Atlanta doesn't have a lot of racial injustice, but it is something about police brutality. But in some communities, it really is about speaking up. And no matter what you're doing, speak up about it. And when he said, listen, I'm willing to lose my job over this. You know, he said, we don't have the Muhammad Ali that we used to have. We don't have the people like James Brown who just spoke out, or Muhammad Ali who got stripped of his title. And I'm willing to do that. You know, and because, you know, when I look at how Muhammad Ali just took a stand for not fighting against people, you know, stripping his title for 5 years, you know, he couldn't really feed his family. You know, he took a stand, and there ain't that many people who do that anymore, you know. So this whole climate of, you know, social change, economic change is right in our face. And it's so great to see people like that who really say, look, I challenge you to actually be willing to lose your job, be willing to stand for it. You know, and I just applauded him in that moment. And, you know, that's just where we are right now. If people can actually get back out there and do it, because, like I said, protesting, it's just not the thing for me at this moment. It is, like, let's hit them in the pocket. Let's get them places that, you know, people can really see what we're talking about, you know. So this is a great conversation, and especially I love what I did hear Henrietta say, that people came because they want to know what's going on in their community, you know. And I want to just say this. When I was growing up, my mother said this to me when I was 7 years old, and I've never been so afraid in my life. She said, you know what? I saw the riots on television. I saw the stuff with Martin Luther King, stuff he was doing, you know, after he passed, you know, after he died and got killed. My mother said, we're going to move in those communities. We were the third black family to move into a white community. When the community shifted from being all black at the high school, she said, you're leaving that high school and you're going to a white high school, because we always made sure we were in the middle of the social change to make sure that we got the best education. We made sure we lived in the better communities. We moved into the best county in the state for education. So I've always been in the cusp of having someone who I grew up who believed in taking a stand for what it was to be in a community. When I was in high school, I didn't want to go to a white college. I wanted to go to a black college. You know, I was just so into making sure that I was always in a place that would have me stand for our community. And so to be in this conversation, and that's the main reason I even came and enrolled into the International Black Summit, because I was in a program that I felt like was lily white, and I said, you know what, I haven't taken a stand for my community, and that's what had me figure out how to get to Oakland in my very first summit. And so, and that's what the summit has always meant to me, what it is to be black, what it is to be black in America, and what it is that we have to fight against every day. That's it for my spiel. I'm done.
Well, that's big, Rod. I thank you, you know, like, thank you for sharing that. And I'm actually, you know, like, I'm going to reach out to your mom and ask her to come to this summit. Your mom and your dad, I'm going to ask them to come, because it is people like her who took a stand that can be acknowledged in the International Black Summit. One of the things that's available in the summit is acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are. See, when you, in that day, take a stand and say, I'm moving into the community, that, and I know they don't welcome me in that community, but I'm moving there because I have children, and I want the best for my children. That's a person who is making sure that her children are going to be contributions to the universe. And so we don't hear a lot about people like that unless they are like a Muhammad Ali or a James Brown or a Ray Charles or, you know, like that. These are the kind of people that will be acknowledged at the International Black Summit. There's a guy that I met here who did a documentary. His name is Darnell Singleton. We've had him on the show. before. And this brother is so, he's a filmmaker, but he is such a community person that he, every night, he is out at the protest. And he films the protest and he documents it. And because it's in the protest that you get to see some of the injustice that's being done. There are people who are being arrested just because they're protesting, and it's legal to protest. But there are places where people get arrested for doing it just because the police feel like locking them up. And so it's in those things. One of the things that Rod spoke of in his share was like what works for him and what, you know, like he mentioned, and I don't have his exact words, but he spoke to protest. And when one of the summit shares that we've had here in Ferguson, one of the ministers mentioned the same thing. And one of the offerings that one of the things that I offered was, if we look at everything from a level of good, like if we look at it, that everybody has a contribution and they have to contribute in whatever way they can contribute. Like, I've met people who are writing legislation. They're not protesting, but they're in the offices writing legislation to change the laws that allow people to be arrested for things and locked up for things just to get them off the street. They're writing legislation for, like, why out of the thousands of tickets that have been written, traffic tickets, why have such a large percent of those tickets been written to black people? So you got people on the street protesting, and you got people writing legislation, and you got people praying, and you got other people meditating, and you have other people in school getting degrees in civil and social justice, and you got people, everybody is doing their thing. And when we embrace all aspects of ourselves, which is our declaration for this year, because each one of those groups of people is an aspect of each one of us, then we're all good, and we're all working for a good, and it's all going to come together. And we had to go through some stuff to get here, you know, like I just, like when Rob was sharing, I could think about being in the school I went to, which was 10-20% black, you know, and going there and demanding that we be able to do the same things that the white students were doing. Like, I can remember going through that struggle, you know. So there are, I never thought it would have me be where I am now. Like, but that struggle that I had in high school, just like that fear Rod had of moving into those neighborhoods, those are things that have us where we are now. And so we have to acknowledge, you know, acknowledge those things. Same thing with MVP. You know, Jerry went through some stuff. And, you know, he's talked about it many times on the show. He went through some stuff to get where he is, and it didn't feel good at the time, what he went through. But look at where he is now. You know, I just think about the times that, Jerry, you and Glenn were in the library working on different things. And that's what I'm acknowledging, like everybody on this call just being acknowledged for the work that they have done. Rod also mentioned about him being with a white organization and joining the International Black Summit so that he could take a stand on things. That's major. You know, it's major when you do stuff like this. So, like, I invite everybody to come to the International Black Summit and be acknowledged, you know, stand up and acknowledge yourself for the things that you've done. And I do know that some of us are going to be out of the country or whatever, but I'm still saying there's space for acknowledgement of what we've been through as a culture, what we've been through as a people, what our parents went through so that we could be here doing what we're doing. And Glenn, I'm going to stop talking and send it back to you. But thanks for listening.
You're welcome. You know, when we look together, you know, there's been a lot of small things that we've done. And I think that the International Black Summit is an opportunity to have those small things underlined, underscored, and understood in a way that we hadn't understood them before.
Mm-hmm.
See, a long time ago, I think it was a Youth at Risk program, I remember the conversation, two ships in the night, and you're able to shift the course of one of those ships 1 degree. Now, 1 degree doesn't look like a whole lot, but in a few hours, you can see the difference. In a few days, there's a huge difference. In a few weeks and months, you've altered the destination of that ship. And we've all had those 1 degree moves in our lives that have shifted our direction and the outcome of where we end up. And so, you know, I want to say that it's not always the big things, and the big things seem more dramatic, but there's a lot of little things along the way that make us who we are.
And the thing, Glenn, just to speak a little bit more to that, and this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network that you're listening to, and we're in Ferguson, Missouri, August 4th through the 7th. But one of the things, Glenn, that you speak to is, like, everybody has faith or belief, and they believe what they believe. And in the International Black Summit, we embrace all beliefs, and even your non-beliefs, we embrace those. But one of the things, as an example, the sharing part, you know, we have this distinction, sharing. And Glenn and I, we talk often. And in one of our conversations, Glenn mentioned that there was a Starbucks that had just opened up in the building where he works. Now, Glenn, do you remember when we had that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
What, was it in January or was it after January?
It was, it opened up in March, but it was coming,
okay.
And I knew that it was coming.
Right.
And we bought it after it opened up, yeah.
Okay. So the thing that I'm getting to is allowing life to work through you such that the shifts can occur that are to occur through you. Like, as individual participants, there are things that we are here to contribute. So Glenn and I are in this conversation, and we're talking about that this Starbucks is opening, and this is a different Starbucks. It's a training. It's one that's for training. And Starbucks has this initiative where they want to do something, excuse me, they want to do something about the unemployment in the Black and Hispanic community. So they built three special Starbucks, and they're training. So they're training people to work at Starbucks as well as to run a Starbucks store. And if you talk to anybody who works at Starbucks, they will tell you the benefits. Starbucks has very good benefits. And interestingly enough, those three stores are located, one is in Jamaica, Queens, New York, one is in Chicago, where I'm from, and the third one is in Ferguson, Missouri. So Glenn and I talked about this, right? And we just kind of talked about it. And in March, we came to Ferguson for us to do a site visit. And I went by to see the Starbucks, but it wasn't, they hadn't completed it yet. No, that was April, when I came in April. And they were still building it, and they hadn't completed it yet. Meanwhile, you know, I've been meeting people from the Ferguson-St. Louis area. And I meet a young lady who's going to do the catering for us at the event. And I'm talking, we're talking back and forth, and she said, there's a caterer in Ferguson. She said, and her business got burned during the riots. She said, if I could find that woman, I would share this with her, or I would even give her the business, because this would help her get back on her feet. These are the kind of people I'm talking about that exist in this community. She said, I would pass this business on to her, but I don't know who she is, and I don't know how to find her. Now, I talked to this young lady the end of April. Now, Glenn and I had talked about it, so this time when I came, Starbucks is open. And I'm asking one of the, Darnell, the filmmaker, Darnell, who's been on the show before. I asked Darnell, where do you think we should have the summit this year? He said, Starbucks. He said, everybody seems to be comfortable going there to chat, right? So I called Starbucks and immediately set it up. It's a beautiful space to meet. They have the screen. I could do WebEx. I could do all of it right there at Starbucks. So I'm talking to, I had a summer share on Saturday, and then I had a second one yesterday at 11 o'clock. And I'm talking to my friend, Darnell, and he says, you see those cakes and those packaged goods? He said, the reason I like coming to Starbucks, he said, because they are interested in the community. He said, those packaged sweets, cakes and things, those are from a woman in Ferguson. She cooks for Starbucks now. She said her place got burned in the riot, and it killed her business. And when Starbucks found out about it, they went looking for her, and now she cooks for them, and they buy their sweets. Not all of them, but these particular ones. They buy them from her to help her get back on her feet. This is the woman that I have been looking for. Okay? No coincidences in life. It's just sharing. See, and when you share, which is one of our distinctions, when you share and people are listening, which is another distinction, you will hear something that answers a question for you. Or you will hear something that will move you forward. Excuse me, I need to drink some water. I've been talking all day. And there's the answer. I mean, there's the answer. So I can call the caterer, and I can tell her that, find out who the woman is, and that she's doing fine, and back up on her feet, and now she's selling her goods to all of the Starbucks that are in this area, which is the St. Louis area also. Glenn, I got to give it back to you.
I got it. You know, again, it just speaks to the connection that we all are, and the possibility that this work brings people together in ways that are seemingly magical, but are not, they are intentional. The magic in our speaking, in our intentionality, in our purposeful lives and purposeful visioning. And so, you know, that's all I want to say for right now. I've got two, Rod is back on the line, and I've got another brother of mine, Larry, that's on the line. Just open your mic, Larry. God, if you've got a couple minutes left, if you want to say hello and say anything, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say the International Black Summit, you keep bringing and bring all the voices out of the credit, huh? Let them come to the main stage and know that we are sick and tired about being sick and tired. So whatever you got to do, just keep on doing it. Because the other day, when a young man from the military did work up in you know where, on those five officers and a few more. It's a new sound to the ears now. And it goes, da 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 da. The AR is talking. But that's a new voice to the world. Sick and tired about being sick and tired. And that's what it is. So don't forget my boy, Amadou Diallo. Don't forget him. So that's what it is. That's what the conversation is. Time to raise up. Raise up and shine. One way or another.
We've got Rod, your mic is open. We've got about 2 minutes left before we wrap up the show. Anything you want to say before we end up?
Yeah, just thanks for the show tonight. It was great. I see that Henrietta is over in Ferguson and representing the International Black Summit, and just want to give her acknowledgement for her work and Glenn, your acknowledgement, both of you acknowledging the show tonight and just excellent work. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you for the acknowledgement. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, yeah, thank you. Thank you, and we appreciate it. And we're bringing this for us and for you.
Yeah.
You know, this is our contribution to the conversation, to move it forward, to have it be placed in a place that's going to make a difference and going to shift the outcomes for this planet. And, you know, we say it in our declaration, you know, we're going to transform the universe. And part of that means that we have to transform ourselves. We have to transform our cities. We have to transform our countries and transform the world in order to impact the universe. And so you got to start somewhere. And the somewhere is the person in your underwear.
Am I still open?
Yeah,
you are.
You're
a little raw, ain't you, fella? Go ahead, though.
Well, I got that one. I can't even claim that one. I got that one from Claudette from Youth at Risk. The person
Claudette is raw. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's real talk for the real work to be done. And one of our distinctions is that there's no out there. So that means that, you know, and the other part of that is the cavalry is not coming to rescue us.
Okay.
That's one of those distinctions that we don't use too often, but that one always kind of rises to the occasion for me. And so it's like, you know, look around because there ain't nobody else coming. So
yeah.
It's us or I in the room that's going to make it happen. Nobody else. So I'm going to leave you on that note. Good night. God bless. Thank you for contributing to the show. Thank you for being a listening to the possibility of shifting this planet and this conversation ever so dramatically. And remember that conversation about that shifting that ship in the night 1 degree. Because I believe that we keep shifting that sucker. And we are the ones that are going to get it done. Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Henrietta?
Good night. Thank you all.
Ashe.
Hey, I say.